1 Corinthians 12 read from the Message.
God's various gifts are handed out everywhere. You can easily see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his Spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, popular or unpopular, jock or geek, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, "I'm not elegant like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body," would that make it so? If ear said, "I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head," would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, "Get lost, I don't need you," or head telling foot, "You're fired, your job has been phased out"? As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower the part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body that you're concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's what you are. You must never forget this.
Just as the body
He doesn't say all except for people who have mental illnesses or substance abuse problems. He doesn't say any kind of except, and he certainly doesn't say except people with special needs. Each person who responds to Jesus and follows him is automatically part of the body of Christ. And if they're part of the body of Christ, then we darn well better invite them into the life of the local expression of the body of Christ, the church. We don't get to pick and choose. If they're part of the body, they're part of us. They're not other, they're us. And each single person, every single person, has a spirit that can know God and worship him. Every person. People who don't look like us, people who don't think like us. And you know what? Some people might think, well, what about people with special needs that can't speak and have pretty severe developmental disabilities? Well, I am 100% convinced that if God, who is so much higher than us, can make himself known to us, that he can make himself known to them too. That is not beyond his capacity. So there is no except. And if somebody is part of the body, that means that they are necessary for the body to function right. The body can't function. You can't say, well, we don't really need those organs. They're not us. Every organ, every part of the body is needed for the body to work right. That means that all of our friends with special needs are absolutely necessary for the body to function right. And we're not like the world. The world's got it wrong. They think that the people that are important are who? The people who are wealthy, the people who have power, the people who are beautiful. And they also really like young, healthy people. And there's this thinking of the world in the world that I know is thoughts from Satan, that the people that matter are the people that contribute to society and aren't any trouble to anybody else. But that's not how Jesus thinks. That is not all what Jesus thinks. That kind of thinking led to what Germany went through in the 30s, where the beginning of their final solution, they started with people with special needs, because they said they aren't useful. But we are not like that. We are not of the world. We are of Jesus. And our brothers and sisters with special needs are part of our body. Each part of the body is essential. Each part of the body, each person is made in the image of God. Each person is fearfully and wonderfully made and is made by God to be who they are supposed to be. And each person is of value for who they are, not for what they can do. Now, let's look at verses 14 through 20. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many body parts, yet one body. So each person in the body has different functions. Each person has different gifts. And again, there is no except. Now, sometimes we know what those gifts are. We always think when people have gifts, it's like, okay, we're talking about the pastor and the elders and the Sunday school teachers and the deacons and the people who have positions. I'm not talking about jobs and positions. I'm talking about gifts. A lot of those gifts aren't necessarily visible. We can't see as a whole who helped bring some soup over to a neighbor when they were sick. We can't see from here on Sunday morning who was kind to a coworker and made them feel a little bit better when they were down. We can't see here who We don't always know who those people are who cleaned up the kitchen after an event. We don't really know who all of those gifts. And even we don't know who is worshiping and praying and spending time with the Lord in private. That is an essential part of the body, even though it's not seen by everybody else. Now, every person who knows Jesus is absolutely necessary in the body of Christ. And you know what? Sometimes we get the impression that we have to go look for good things to do. That we have to, like, pick our gift and go do it and make it happen and go look for things that would make Jesus happy with us. Like, if we work hard, he'll be happy with us and he'll give us a badge and say we're a good person. But that's not how the body works. What would happen if a foot said, I want to make the head proud. I'm going to go walk someplace and I'm going to go find someplace to walk to and the head will be proud of me. No, if a foot goes off and does its own thing, that's a neurological problem and you have to see a doctor. The foot only has to do what the brain says it does, and that's one step at a time. It has to take the step the brain says it has to. It's the brain that knows where the foot is going. The foot doesn't know where it's going. It doesn't know if it's going to work, or it doesn't know if it's going on a wonderful vacation. It just does step by step what the head tells it to. I learned that because when the ark started up, the Lord told me, you're supposed to be a part of that. And I thought, well, I probably won't be very useful, but I guess I could just show up and maybe be friendly to people. And that's how it was for a number of years. I had no idea that he was leading me into leadership. And you know what? If he had told me where I was going from the beginning, I wouldn't have gone to the first meeting. I would have said, that's impossible. I can't do that. Not happening. And I would have never gone. But each of you is only responsible for doing that next step that the head tells you to, and he's the one to know how to fit it together with what everybody else in the body is doing to make the body function right. You only have to know that one step that he is telling you to, and every single person can obey him and do that one step, whatever it is, and that each thing that is done in obedience to him makes the body work right and accomplishes his goals and makes happen what he wants to happen to advance his kingdom and bring glory to himself. And we don't really always know exactly how our part fits with that whole. But he does. And someday, I think we're going to see. Someday, I think he's going to show us. Now, 1 Corinthians 12, 21-27. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body that seem less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, so there be no division in the body, but that the body may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Now, people with disabilities struggle with all sorts of things, but they have each one of them has gifts and helps the body of Christ work right. Each person, you know, between 1 in 5 or 1 in 6, depending on the statistics you read, people in the United States have some form of disability, whether it be special needs, autism, severe arthritis, deafness, blindness, dementia. There are so many different kinds. People are struggling. Our world is broken, and each one of us is broken too. Each one of us is broken in different ways. And thinking about it, I am 100% convinced that the difference between people with special needs and so-called normal people, and people with disabilities of all sorts and so-called normal people, is that the normal people hide their brokenness better. Better at hiding it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. And there's a group of people from all over the world who were interested in ministering to people with disabilities that got together, had a group called the Lausanne Movement. And this is from their paper that they put out with all the things they came up with of how best to move forward in ministering to people with all kinds of disabilities. It says, these are the people that God cares about passionately. It's clear from a casual reading of the Gospels that Jesus has great compassion for people with disabilities and their families, preferring to spend time with them rather than with people of wealth, influence, power, or even the religious hierarchy. Whether it was the man born blind in John 9 or the individual with withered hand in Luke 14, Jesus was moved with compassion whenever he encountered people with disabilities. Now, he is finding ways to minister to people with all kinds of disabilities. In different ages, there seems to be different moves of the Spirit, different things that he's doing. Now, he is always the same, but sometimes he does things differently. And one of the moves that's going on right now is to minister with people with all kinds of disabilities. At a conference I was at for ministering with people with disabilities, they said that 10 years ago, you could hardly find a church that had any kind of ministry to like children with special needs or any kind of people with disabilities. And now they're all over the place, spreading like wildfire, including training for people who want to do that. Is something that God is doing in the church. And I really appreciate Pastor Tim getting behind that, so that there's all kinds of different ministries. Like some churches have a heart for people who are deaf, and they have a translator, and they involve them in all the people who are deaf in the life of the church. Some, it's children with special needs. For us, because of the Hooties, we have a heart for adults with special needs and love them and want them to become part of the life of the church. And the ark isn't a way of setting them aside saying, over there, you guys come over there. It's saying, come on in as worship together and then come on into the full life of the church. Now, there's a woman who really, really, really wanted to become a missionary. It was her passion. Her name was Amberl. And she had everything planned. She was in school studying to learn what she needed to do to go off somewhere else in the world and tell people about Jesus. And then she came down with this horrendous, horrible autoimmune disease. It destroyed her sight. It made her an invalid. And she thought, God, why did you give me this passion? Why did you give me this dream? And then yank it out from underneath me. But she found out when she started realizing it and praying about it that God didn't yank it away from her. She said that she couldn't be, that no matter what he did, he could not make her an Iraqi. He could not make her a Kenyan. But he could make her part of the community she wanted to minister, that she was going to minister to. And as a person with disabilities herself, she has she's been ministering to all sorts of people with disabilities because she knows where they're coming from, because she's one of them. Now, this is something that she wrote. Without people with disabilities, we're prone to forget that this world is not our hope, and some of us will never function as we ought till we're in the presence of God. Without people with disabilities, we're liable to idolize health and wholeness and forget that God uses illness and weakness in profound ways to draw people to himself. Without people with disabilities, the church is likely to act like 1,000 individual organisms, rather one body that's dependent on each other and cannot afford to live in isolation. And there's a pastor named Pastor Lamar Hardwick, I've gotten to hear him speak twice, who has autism. He's a church pastor, he has autism, and he now has a ministry with reaching out to the community of people with autism and reaching out to churches to help people understand autism better. And he says that when we don't include people with disabilities, we are at best half as good as we could be. And we're not trying to be nice to people with disabilities. We need them. We need them to be whole. We need them to be what we need, what God has planned for us, and what he wants us to be. Now, in Matthew 22, Jesus tells this parable of the wedding feast. And the man invited a bunch of people to the feast of the wedding, and each of them came up with a different excuse why they were just too busy and had too much important stuff to do. And he said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, that my house may be filled. Full. Jesus wants the people with disabilities to come and become part of the body. And he wants all of them at that ultimate wedding feast. When we sit down in heaven to that feast, every single one of us broken people are going to be whole. And I know that you are going to be astounded at the beauty and the honor that's given to our friends with special needs. They are going to knock your socks off. You're going to say, why didn't I see that all along? How amazing they were. So I'm going to finish up with a very short video of words from a woman who learned herself the hard way. Her name's Johnny Erickson Tata. She was injured, became a paraplegic, and God allowed that to happen because he had much greater things planned, much bigger things planned. And he's used her to minister to people with disabilities across the world and to educate the church. So.
We demand that everyone be normal. We hide the broken from our everyday view. We even hide our own brokenness. Approximately one in every six citizens is disabled, yet people with disabilities are almost universally absent from most American churches. How do we embrace that which God gives from his left hand? We don't understand God's role in disability, and this lack of understanding leads to closed doors for people with disabilities. He seldom uses the powerful and the beautiful to achieve his purposes. His power shows up best in brokenness. We live in a profoundly broken and disordered world. Every one of us needs the grace of God. The gospel is humbly admitting our inability, our brokenness, and our helplessness before God. And in so doing, we'll see that the body of Christ is made whole by the disabled, whose weakness and brokenness mirrors our own.
Wasn't just to entertain you, even though the Ark is a heck of a lot of fun. It was for two reasons. One, because I suspect that there are some people in here who know people who have special needs, or know people who have special needs. And the Ark is not full. We have room in our room and in our hearts for a whole lot more people, and I know there are more people that belong there. And we want to know them. We want them to come and become part of us and make friends with them and have them come to know Jesus too and to worship with us. So we would like you guys, now that you've had just a little bit of taste of the ark and have a little bit of an idea what we're about, to tell the people that you know. If you have a cousin who has somebody with special needs, any teens or adults with special needs, if you know anybody or meet anybody, tell them about the ark. We want them. The ark has lots of room. Now, to help with that, Jamie made up a new brochure, and there's one in each of person's bulletin, and we're going to make a whole lot more, so you can grab as many you want to pass out. Give them to people. Give them to people you know. Pass them out. Tell them to spread the word. We want them, right? And the second reason is because I wouldn't be surprised if there's some people here that belong at the Ark. That belong as volunteers or even just coming. The Ark is fun. The people who come, the biggest thing that they say about it is that there's joy there. I remember when Jamie first came, she went tired and a little cranky and just went because she had promised. And she... hangry. But when she came home, she said, I feel so good. I want to go back. I want more of that. Because there's joy there. There's joy there. If you need a dose of your joy in your life, come. Come worship with us. You don't even have to do anything. Just come be part of us. And if you're willing to do anything to help, we can use you. Remember we talked about that foot just taking the step that the head tells it to? If you're hearing that little voice, like the little voice that Ruby heard, if you're hearing that little voice saying, I should go, it's because there is a U-shaped hole in the ark that we might not even know about yet, but there's a U-shaped hole in the ark, and you belong there, and that you're going to be part of what makes the ark function as a body. So come. If you feel like the Lord is saying come, then you better obey and come. Okay? So we hope to see some of you there. And even if you just want to come for fun sometime or see what it's all about, you are all welcome.
All right, Margie and all the ARC leadership team, thanks. That was a blessing. And there's a third thing that was accomplished today. We glorified God, we worshiped God, and we showed him how much we love him. And so thanks for leading us through this. And first and third Thursdays, 6:30, the ARC. Joy. Just put that word in your head. The ARC equals joy. I know we spell it A-R-K. But it equals joy. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to just be together as a church family and to be in your presence and to show you how much we desperately want to share the gospel with everyone. Lord, you've called us to welcome everyone just like you have. And so that's part of who we are, Lord, and it's from you. And so we're grateful that you've put that value in us to welcome everyone. And so, Lord, this morning we ask that as we finish this worship service, that you would infuse in our hearts and our minds the desire to welcome everyone in our families, in our workplaces, at our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our community, so that they too would experience the joy that we have by being your children. And so help us this week, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen.